This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn Sharitz and Xiao Ning. The debate over Latifa Khoya's appointment as the head of the Malaysia Anti-Corruption Commission has continued over the weekend, and her appointment is proving especially divisive within PKR, which was Latifa's former party. Now, recall that when the news first broke, PKR chief Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim asked the Prime Minister to clarify the decision to Cabinet as well as to the Pakatan Harapan Council.
That's right. So other PKR figures, including Tan Yee Kew, the MP for Wangsa Maju, as well as Nick Nazmi, the MP for Setia Wangsa, have backed a petition calling for her resignation. Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir on Saturday said that this decision was final. And he also played down Anwar Ibrahim's comment, saying that the request for clarification was justified and that relations between the two men remained good.
So on the line, we have Ben Sufian, the program director for the Merdeka Center, to weigh in on the issue. Good morning, Ben. Now, observers say Latifa's appointment is a subtle check on Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, as she has largely been seen to be in Azmin Ali's camp. How do you read Tun Mahathir's seemingly unilateral decision to appoint Latifa Khoya as MACC chief? Is this a case of him trying to show everyone who's boss?
Well, I think Dr. Mahathir is truly exercising his prime ministerial powers because, there has been information coming up from both sides of the divide with respect to this matter. And one group, particularly those aligned with Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, has been talking about the Pakatan Harapan manifesto intentions about getting important appointments approved by the Parliamentary Select Committee. While on the other hand, the existing laws does provide for the PM to appoint anyone he sees fit to the king. So I think what we are seeing right now is him continuing to exercise powers and not wanting to have himself checked by committees prior to putting people in important positions. Then this also plays into the factionalism that has driven PKR. As we all know, PKR is divided into two factions. And the biggest resistance towards Latifa Khoya's appointment comes not from people from the opposition parties, but from within her, from within PKR itself. And the people have started petition asking her to resign, and largely people aligned to Dato' Sri Anwar.
Lim Kit Siang has waded into this discussion, and he said that the appointment was legally correct but politically wrong. So do you think Dr. M miscalculated the political impact of his decision?
I mean, certainly there is an outsized resistance and dissatisfaction towards the decision, in this particular case. And I think maybe one of the major reasons is that it plays into the storyline that this is a check on Anwar Ibrahim, that because Latifa Khoya is seen to be close to the other faction in PKR, her appointment plays into the narrative that there is an ongoing plot to slow down or affect the transition between Dr. M to Anwar Ibrahim. That all of this situation plays into that plot.
Okay, and Ben, the appointment has clearly divided PKR internally with potential spillover to the broader PH coalition. Is this a sign of healthy democracy, as some would suggest, or will it instead further fracture the coalition unity?
I think the coalition overall will be largely intact. The reason why I think there has been larger than normal resistance and debate over the appointment of Latifa Khoya is because PKR itself has been divided. It has been divided for many years. It is unfortunate that PKR is like this, partly because the leaders inside PKR and the senior leaders have decided to play faction heads rather than a leader of an overarching party. And so this any kind of appointment, selection of leaders, has largely fed into the factionalism within PKR. We've seen this play out even in smaller stages in exco members in the state of Perak, in Johor, and previously in Selangor. So we have a situation where the party itself can't come together, and it is spilling into the wider coalition. But I think the wider coalition itself is with the Prime Minister. He is not wrong. He didn't overstep his powers, but maybe he didn't do it in the way that they wanted. But it, is certainly a sign that PKR itself has serious issues with its own party leaders and members moving forward.
So, Ben, how do you see Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim manoeuvring around this issue going forward, since he is the Prime Minister in waiting as well as PKR chief?
Well, I think Datuk Sri Anwar himself, I think, is aware of how things develop politically. I mean, he's a long-term player in the scene here. But I think, you know, any leader surrounded by advisors and supporters who interpret every single action in a way that either it benefits or disadvantages their leaders. And so I think because of that, he has to not only manage his relationship with the Prime Minister, Dr. Mahathir, but he also has to manage the enthusiasm of his supporters so as not to damage the wider relationship and the dynamics of the government. And in fact, as more and more of this internal bickering spills out to the public space, not only does it distract public attention, but it also plays into public confidence in his party and his own leadership. So he has to manage his people in terms of how they display their dissatisfaction.
And Ben, one last question. With regards to Tun Mahathir and his decision, how do you see the role of select committee of the parliament, you know, evolving after this incident?
Well, I think this is a lesson in the sense that the parliamentary select committee was set up sometime last year, and this select committees are supposed to be independent from the executive, and therefore they should be able to move and propose changes in the way bills have to be presented and selection of important personnel to senior posts in government ought to be done. So all of this is actually on them, and therefore they need to move along on this and not wait for the executive to prod them into action. So there is a responsibility and also I think the need for urgent action on their part. And I think this is, so it's not just all of it resting on the executive or the Prime Minister, but other members of government, particularly the legislature, also need to come up and rise up to the challenges the public expects them to and deliver the promises that they all collectively agreed, you know, more than a year ago prior to entering government.
Thank you so much, Ben. And that was Ben Sufian, the program director of the Merdeka Centre. And there's been quite a lot of controversy surrounding Latifa Khoya's appointment. But of course, the former MACC chief, Datuk Sri Shukri Abdul, has come out to say that he's dismissed any allegations that he may have been removed from the post. He says that actually, when he agreed to take on the position once again back in May of 2018, he actually did put a one-year time limit on it, and he said that he only really wanted to come back and solve two things. So the first was the investigations into 1MDB and SRC International, and he also wanted to solve internal issues within MACC due to divisions among the officers. And he says that since those two things, he's achieved those two objectives, then really he has no further reason to stay with MACC, hence the search for a new chief.
Yeah, but what's interesting as well is that he is also unaware of the appointment of Latifa Khoya prior to, you know, the official announcement. At the same time, he did also say that he did propose two names, which are internal names within MACC itself. But again, as mentioned by Pan Sufian, it is the prerogative of the Prime Minister to be able to, you know, to select who will run the commission.
It looked like it was a surprise to everyone, not just the ex-head of MACC. Even cabinet ministers were not consulted on this. But it's not the first time that Dr. M has kind of rescinded on some of Pakatan Harapan's manifesto promises, right? When he appointed himself a post of education minister. Of course, he stepped down from that post.
Yeah, and also the Attorney General as well, prior to that, who is also appointed by the Prime Minister. But again, it brings down that question into the role of the Select Committee, wasn't it? I mean, we did speak to Ben about it, and whether or not the lesson learned from this is that they now have to sort of take a step, ahead into preempting what Prime Minister could be doing and, you know, be more prepared, in situations such as this.
And I think one of the things that Lim Kit Siang said, which honestly I do somewhat agree with, is the fact that while Tun Mahathir was acting well within his powers, you know, given to him as Prime Minister, it was not in line with the spirit of the Pakatan Harapan Coalition. And that's something I do feel resonated with me, because we're no longer in a situation where the ends justify the means. You know, it's like if you want to appoint the right people to the job, great, but you have to go through due process, because that is where we've seen corruption enter into the argument when due process was ignored. And that's something we obviously don't want a repeat of. Now we're coming up on the 7:30 news, and after that we'll have more interesting discussions for you, so be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.